In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hello, this is Pastor John, and we're continuing in our series, Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer. Now, this lesson is based on a book I recently wrote, which you can get at Amazon, and you can also get it at the website, reflectthegloryofgodinprayer.com. It's the same name as the title. Now, we left off in our last series, beginning with the first step, remember the glories of God. And we were just talking about Moses and how he desired to see the glory of God. This is something that we need to have in our prayer. Now, in the case of Moses, he literally saw the glory of God passing through as he was tucked away in the cleft of the rock. We will not have that option, but we can see the glory of God in many other ways. For example, we can look up at the heavens, for they declare the glory of God. And so we can marvel at God's creation, to ask God to give us new eyes to see and appreciate his amazing creation, even though it's been subjected to futility, Paul says in Romans. Well, there's other ways that we can see the glory of God in providence, the way he arranges circumstances that both protect us in some cases or gives us opportunities to share the gospel or encourage one another. Another way that we can see the glory of God is in the body of Christ as we love one another and serve one another. So there's a multitude of ways to see the glory of God, and we shouldn't just limit it to just simply a visible manifestation of God himself. And of course, reading God's word and studying the past and seeing all the glorious things he has done and the truths he has provided to us in scriptures is another way to see his glory. So let's go to a different individual. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul. What amazes me about the Apostle Paul, and there's many things to be amazed about his walk before the Lord, is that he desired others to see the glory of God. Let me read from chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, verse 18. He says this in his prayer, "May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And then the verse goes on in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." And it goes on to talk about Christ and the resurrection and so forth. See, Paul desired for others to see the glory of God. He certainly desired that in the church, that people would grow and come to know who Christ is, that they would grow to the full, mature stature of Christ. But we also see it in Paul's evangelism, his desire to witness to anyone, anywhere. He went to the Jew first, and he would proclaim Christ from the Old Testament. And then when the Jews rejected that, Paul didn't give up. He went to the Gentiles. And so this is really important. So the question for you is, do you desire others to know God and to see his glory? And the first really initiation and for others to see the glory of God is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Every time you proclaim the gospel, you are proclaiming the glory of God. And that is something I think we need to cultivate, not only in our evangelism, but we need to cultivate that in our prayer life. Paul constantly prayed for others to see God's glory. Let me ask you this question. How do you keep your vision of God fresh and accurate? How do you know that you are thinking correctly and accurately about God and his glory? See, that's a good question to ask, because how often have we had wrong thoughts about God? Now, to think rightly about God means that we have to open up his scripture and study it, because that's where he has revealed himself with clarity and with instruction so that we can know who God is. There's another individual I think is pretty neat when it comes to the glory of God that we should look at, that gives us and teaches us an important lesson, and that is Solomon. Now, Solomon, when he was younger, meditated often on the glory of God's character. And when Solomon had completed building the temple for the Lord, His prayer was filled with references to the person, character, and glory of God. His entire prayer is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 12 through 42. But let me give you three portions from that prayer. And as I'm reading this to you, notice how Solomon reflects on the glory of God. This first passage is 2 Chronicles 6:14, near the beginning of the prayer. And Solomon said, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts." Let me give you another one a little bit further down, verse 18 of chapter 6. "But will God indeed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built." Let me read towards the end of the prayer. "O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David." And then it goes on to say, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." That's from 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 42 through chapter 7, verse 3. Now, I admit, when you pray, most likely fire will not come down from heaven, nor will your room or the place you dwell be filled with the glory of God, nor your church. But do you see how Solomon's prayer reflects the glory of God? This kind of prayer comes only from an overflow of much meditation on the glory of God. So let me ask you this. Are you able to describe the glory of God to others? Do you know your Bible well enough to explain the glory of God? This is the challenge I think we have as believers. We get comfortable with a set of truths, and then we stop growing. How often have you picked up the scriptures, maybe an Old Testament passage you haven't read for years, and you're like, "Oh, how did I forget this precious truth?" And when you're reading it, it's like brand new. We need to be cultivating. We need to be meditating on the glory of God daily in prayer. Let me introduce you to another individual, not someone from the scriptures, but someone from our own history, Jonathan Edwards. Now, Jonathan Edwards was a pastor during the revivals at Northampton in the year 1734 and 35. He's a famous theologian in America. In fact, he's considered one of America's greatest theologian. Now, the following excerpt is from his sermon, Ruth's Resolution, which he preached in April 1735. Now, we don't write or talk like this anymore, but be patient and listen to the thoughts and how he just oozes out the glory of God. God is a glorious God. There is none like him, who is infinite in glory and excellency. He is the Most High God, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. His name is excellent in all the earth, and his glory is above the heavens. Among the gods, small g, there is none like unto him. There is none in heaven to be compared to him, nor are there any among the sons of the mighty that can be likened unto him. Is the fountain of all good and an inexhaustible fountain. He is an all-sufficient God, able to protect and defend and do all things for them. He is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, a strong rock and a high tower. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rideth on the heaven and his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is a refuge, and underneath are everlasting arms. He is a God who hath all things in his hands and does whatever he pleases. He killeth and make alive, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. He maketh poor and maketh rich. The pillars of the earth are the Lord's. God is an infinitely holy God. There is none holy as the Lord, and he is infinitely good and merciful. Many that others worship and serve are gods, small g, are cruel beings, spirits that seek the ruin of souls. But this is a God that delights in mercy. His grace is infinite and endures forever. He is love itself, an infinite fountain and ocean of it. Wow. We need more sermons like that in the church, meditating and proclaiming the glory of God to others. Now, where does such an understanding of God's glory come from? How did Jonathan Edwards get to a place where he could just continue to talk and wax eloquently on the glory of God? The answer is, he got that from scriptures. Edwards' knowledge of God's glory is a byproduct of much prayer, much study, and much meditation on the scriptures. This is a man who has spent a lot of time studying and thinking about the character and works of God. So let me ask you a question. How often do you meditate on the glory of God? Do you frequently think about his magnificent works and his transcendent written word? This is a challenge that I think we need to commit ourselves to. How are we going to grow in our knowledge of God's glory so that we can proclaim it to others like Jonathan Edwards? We may not use the same vocabulary, but those truths should be coming out of us like a geyser at Yellowstone, a fountain of incredible information and truth, all proclaiming God's glory. Let's look at another individual, the psalmist. Have you ever visited NASA's website where they reveal the pictures and videos of various space probes? I was reading about the space probe Cassini, which studied the planet Saturn. Its mission began in October 1997 and ended in September 2017, where the probe crashed into the planet. And if you visit solarsystem.nasa.gov, you can learn more about the Cassini mission. Now, when the mission was complete, it was a pretty neat scene. All the scientists high-fived one another for their mission's accomplishments. But how many of us acknowledge the effortless work of the Creator who made everything in the universe? I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 19:1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. I love this passage because it immediately makes you look up in the sky. And every time we see that sun, we are reminded that it's God's handiwork. And this is even a more amazing passage because it talks about how it utters forth speech that no one can hear. That's because the stars don't actually say something literally like I'm talking to you. But boy, oh boy, do they declare the glory of God, his magnificence, his power. It's astounding. And scientists keep discovering more and more amazing objects in the universe. So as you're meditating the rest of this week, spend time desiring to see God's glory. Desire others to see the glory of God. Meditate often on the glory of God and proclaim the glory of God to others. And do this by studying the Psalms and the Scriptures. And spend time in prayer remembering the glory of God. This is Pastor John, and we'll see you soon as we continue our series on prayer.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.